Part 2. Mundane Astrology. Nearly all professional astrologers are ignorant of their own subject, as of all others. Alistair Crowley, Magic in Theory and Practice. Mundane astrology is the branch of the subject which deals with nations and peoples. Just as a chart can be drawn for an individual, so it can be drawn for a nation. The chart shows the planetary positions in the zodiac and the houses at the time and place required. The significance of the houses is adapted to national affairs. The second house, for instance, governs the national wealth and the national debt, and the seventh house, which rules love, marriage, and business relationships in an individual's chart, rules foreign affairs in a nation's chart. An interesting example is the horoscope of the United States, as interpreted by the celebrated American astrologer Evangeline Adams. It is not always easy to decide on a moment of birth for a nation, but in this case it is taken to be 3:03 a.m. on the 4th of July, 1776. At that moment, Gemini was on the ascendant, which accounts for the versatility and restlessness of Americans ever since. Gemini's ruler, Mercury, is America's ruling planet. Mercury is the middleman planet of business and communication. And American brilliance in business, especially in salesmanship and advertising, is the natural consequence of Mercury's dominant position. The behavior of Uranus has also been an important factor in American history. This planet stands for sudden change, violent upheaval, and revolution. It was in the ascendant sign Gemini in 1776 when the 13 colonies rebelled against the British. It next returned to Gemini in a grim conjunction with Mars and Saturn in 1860, the year of the outbreak of the Civil War. Writing in 1931, Evangeline Adams saw that Uranus and Mars would again be together in Gemini in 1942 and predicted that the USA would probably be at war in that year. Clues to the influences of Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto have been found in events occurring after each of these planets was discovered. Although the new planets are new only in the sense of being recently discovered, astrologers believe that they have made themselves felt in the world only since their discovery. The identification of Uranus in 1781 has been followed by revolutions and violent upheavals in the world, notably the French Revolution of 1789. The planet also cast its shadow before it by sparking the American Revolution of 1776. Neptune has shown its spiritual and psychic influence in the rise of spiritualism, the growth of interest in psychic and occult matters, and the development of psychology and psychoanalysis since it was discovered in 1846. Pluto was identified in 1930. The Depression, the Second World War, and the manufacture of the atomic bomb suggests that its influence has been appropriately hellish. An important event for mundane astrologers is a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, which occurs once every 20 years. Kepler and other eminent astrologers of the past believe that the Star of Bethlehem was a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter in Pisces. Later authorities generally agree, but place the conjunction in Aries. Since 1842, the conjunctions of Saturn and Jupiter have invariably occurred in Earth signs, which accounts for the Industrial Revolution and for modern materialism and concentration on practical matters, relieved only by the spiritualist influence of Neptune since 1846. The modern astrologer's great year is a period of approximately 26,000 years divided into 12 sections which correspond to the signs of the zodiac. Astrologers do not agree about the precise dating of these periods, but they say that in the 9th and 10th centuries B.C., the world was passing through the age of Leo. At that period, the sun at the vernal equinox, the beginning of spring about March 21st each year, was in the constellation Leo. As Leo's ruler is the sun, this age was naturally marked by sun worship. About 8000 B.C., the world entered the age of Cancer, as a result of precession of the equinoxes. The sun was then in Cancer at the vernal equinox. Cancer is a water sign, and if the great flood ever occurred, it can confidently be dated to this age, which was also marked by moon cults and the worship of female divinities because Cancer is ruled by the moon. The age of Gemini, 6,000 to 4,000 BC, saw the invention of writing, because Gemini's ruler Mercury is the planet of communication. From 4,000 to 2,000 BC, the age of Taurus brought in bull worship, the worship of the golden calf, and also the construction of pyramids, ziggurats, and other large and solid edifices on the earth, because Taurus is the fixed earth sign. After the age of Aries, which astrologers believe was conspicuous for ram worship, the age of Pisces began about 1 AD. Pisces is a mutable sign, and the immediate consequence of its appearance at the vernal equinox was the growth of Christianity, which stresses unselfishness and service to others. Pisces is the sign of the fishes, and so Jesus chose fishermen to be his disciples, and the early Christians used the fish as a symbol. In astrology, opposites are supposed to attract each other, which accounts for the importance of the Virgin in Christianity, as Virgo is the sign opposite Pisces. The use of Lamb of God and Good Shepherd for Christ does not seem to fit Pisces, but can perhaps be explained as a hangover from the age of Aries. Pisces is a watery sign, and the Piscean age has been one of watery confusion and emotionalism. The approaching age of Aquarius, beginning about the year 2000, will be a more orderly, constructive, and intelligent period because Aquarius is a fixed air sign. It is hoped that the nations will follow the celestial water carrier's example of service to others, and that the new age will be a time of international harmony and the brotherhood of man. Of course, the future can be foretold in much more detailed terms than these. For centuries, mundane astrologers have diligently turned out almanacs of predictions for each coming year. Predictions addressed to Louis XI of France in 1476 forecast that women would quarrel with their husbands and that many men would leave their wives. Saturn at mid-sky in the spring was expected to cause a rise in the prices of things governed by Saturn, including lead, iron, magnets, black stones, elephants, camels, bears, ostriches, crows, and all blackbirds, and bread. War was forecast for early March, with deceptive peace offers about March the 20th. Modern astrologers tell us what to expect of the future in more cautious and less specific terms. At the time of writing, the sun in Libra is sextile, favorable, to the moon in Leo, and this is a favorable sign for world peace moves and may herald a summit conference. The energetic force of Mars moving into Leo will cause some long-established governments to totter. In the United States, conflict between liberals and conservatives, rising living costs, and a late Christmas shopping rush can be expected. Swift's Predictions for the Year 1708 by Isaac Bickerstaff, Esquire, could almost be reprinted today as a satire on this kind of thing. Bickerstaff makes various pleasantly absurd forecasts for 1708, including the statement that near the end of August, quote, much mischief will be done at Bartholomew Fair by the fall of a booth, unquote, which is the 18th century equivalent of a forecast of rising prices or dispute between liberals and conservatives now. He goes on to say that Partridge, a celebrated astrologer and almanac maker of the day, will die at 11 p.m. on March the 29th of a raging fever. Swift followed this up on March the 30th, 1708, by publishing an anonymous newsletter describing the death of Partridge the night before. Many readers accepted this at its face value and presumed that Partridge really was dead. Three other wits produced a pamphlet, ostensibly written by Partridge, hotly maintaining that he was still alive and complaining that he was greatly inconvenienced by the report of his death and could not go out of doors because he was being dunned for his funeral expenses. Partridge himself was finally drawn in. He included in his almanac for 1709 a statement that he was alive and in perfectly good health, to which Swift replied with a pamphlet containing cogent reasons to prove that Partridge was certainly dead, whatever he might say to the contrary. Modern mundane astrologers have one great advantage over their predecessors, the fact that most people do not believe them. A disastrous example of inaccurate astrological prediction is the forecast of a great flood for the year 1524. Astrologers all over Europe realized that there would be conjunctions of all the planets in Pisces in February 1524. Obviously, this must portend some fearsome and extraordinary event, and since Pisces is a watery sign, the astrologers expected a flood which would rival Noah's. The result was widespread panic. By mid-January, it was said that 20,000 people had fled from London alone, seeking higher ground. The prior of St. Bartholomew's prudently stocked a fortress at Harrow-on-the-Hill with 2 months' supplies and took all necessary precautions to keep other people out. A man at Toulouse built himself a Noah's Ark after the biblical pattern, though whether he collected 2 animals of every species to join him in it is in doubt. The Elector of Brandenburg took refuge on the highest available mountain on the day foretold by his court astrologer and awaited the dread event. When no drop of rain had fallen by 4 o'clock, the Elector sent his coach back to his castle. The court astrologer had at least the satisfaction of seeing the coachman and 4 horses struck dead by lightning at the gate. The great flood never materialized, though 1524 did turn out to be an unusually wet year. Many astrologers in medieval times were also doctors, and diseases were thought to be caused by planetary influences. 14th-century astrologers believed that a conjunction of Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars in Aquarius corrupted the air and caused the Black Death. In the early 16th century, astrologers were much concerned with the origins of syphilis. Agostino Nifo attributed it to a conjunction of Saturn and Mars in Pisces. In his poem, Syphilis, Girolamo Fracastoro said the disease was caused by a conjunction of Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars in Cancer, which corrupted the air. Petrus Maynardus, who taught medicine at Padua, said that only men born under Scorpio, the sign which rules the genitals, were subject to it and predicted that it would disappear altogether after a conjunction in 1584. Modern astrologers still connect disease with the stars. Heart trouble, spinal meningitis, and muscular rheumatism of the back are aggravated when Mars is passing through Leo. When Mars is in Cancer, we are all in danger of stomach upsets and digestive troubles. Uranus in Cancer pretty much precludes the permanence of one's health. Mars and Saturn in certain relationships with the Moon in a birth chart presage chronic ill health. Traditionally, each sign of the zodiac is associated with part of the human body. Aries, head; Taurus, neck; Gemini, shoulders, arms, lungs; Cancer, stomach; Leo, heart, back; Virgo, intestines; Libra, kidneys, buttocks; Scorpio, genitals; Sagittarius, hips, thighs; Capricorn, knees; Aquarius, ankles; Pisces, feet. You are likely to suffer from ailments in the part of the body ruled by your sun sign. Born under Aries, you will probably be afflicted with head injuries and headaches, and also with kidney complaints from the opposite sign, Libra. Born under Pisces, you can expect trouble with your feet and intestinal disorders from Virgo. The reader will now see why Aquarians are supposed to have noticeable ankles, and Scorpio's rule of the genitals accounts for many of its characteristics. Penetrating is a word often used to describe the Scorpio nature.